We also want to welcome each one this morning to the house of the Lord. We thank Dwayne for his sincere prayer, and we'll thank each one of you who have been praying. We ask you to continue to pray that God's name would be exalted this morning, and there will be no uncertain sound come from us. The subject this morning is entitled, The Virtuous Woman. Are there any women here today who are confused? The world is telling you to fit into its pattern. Look out for number one. That's you. Magazine covers and advertisements are telling you to display your sexuality. Newspapers do features on women who left the baby diapers for instant success in the business world. They tell you you need to desire more material things and position, and to fulfill that goal, you need to get out from under God's given authority and lifestyle. What is a Christian woman to do? I believe with every other personal problem, we need to get back to the Bible. The world's standards change, but the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, God says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Proverbs 31:30, "Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." The basis for being a godly woman is that she is yielded to God. And as a result of this yielding, there is a Christ-likeness in her life. In Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 10, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Virtuous means a godly woman. "For her price or her value is far above rubies." First this morning, I want to look at the influence of a woman on her husband. In Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 4, "A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is a rottenness in his bones." What is your influence this morning on your husband? Is it good or bad? Is it good or is it wrong? I'd like to share two examples of a bad influence in the scripture. Eve, she walked near the forbidden fruit. She was not content. She listened to the wrong voice, and then she tempted her husband to fall. And he fell. Rebecca and Isaac had a beautiful beginning, how God led them together in a very definite way. But she did not trust God for the birthright of her children, and she took it into her own hands. She encouraged Jacob to deceive her husband. She told Jacob to run away from his problem rather than confess and make wrongs right. I think one of the greatest examples we have of a godly woman who was a blessing to her husband was a Proverbs lady. Proverbs 31:10, "Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life." Proverbs 18 and verse 22, "Whoever findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." And in Proverbs 19:14, "House and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord." Prudent is one who has sound judgment. How can you be a crown to your husband? I think the most first important thing is to love the Lord with all your heart, soul, and mind. And to daily spend time in His Word and in prayer and praising Him for who He is and how great He is. Also, I think you need to pray for your husband every day. You know, sometimes we hear wives complain about their husbands. And one of the first questions I asked is, how much have you prayed for him? Encourage him to have a Bethel. A time alone with God every day. And especially pray for him at that time. And ask him to share his concerns with you. Thirdly, seek a submissive attitude. First of all, to God. In James 4, 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. And secondly, to your husband. In Ephesians 5 and verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Do not resist his leadership, even though it's not perfect, and none of us are perfect as men. Let him know that you believe that God will bless you and your family through his spiritual leadership. Let him know that you're going to allow God to take control in his life. Another question, does your husband know without a doubt that you love him more than any other person on the earth? And when your respect for him through your committed love is real, it will change your influence as nothing else can. And oh, how we need that in our homes today. Your husband needs you to respect him as a man. How do you do that? You asked him your spiritual questions. Maybe he don't have the answer, but asked him. He'll get it if you put that responsibility upon him. Never become your husband's conscience. Pray about it. Let the Lord deal with the problems in his life. Ask him to define what he expects for you as a godly wife. That might be scary, but I think it's needful to do that sometimes. Your husband needs you to continue to develop inward and outward beauty as his wife. What did he like about you in your courtship days? I think sometimes wives get careless in their appearance. For instance, men are attracted by sight. And I think you just keep yourself looking nice for him. He comes home to the home. Is it clean? Is it a cozy place that he loves to be? Does he love to get there? There's no place in this life that I'd sooner be than with my wife at home. Do you have a meek and quiet spirit? Are you allowing him to lead? Are you a virtuous woman by being grateful for the things he does for you? You know, most of us can write down problems of our companion, things we don't care about, don't like. Sometimes we make a list of them in the back of our minds. But I think we need to write down some things to praise him about. Maybe make a list of them and look them over quite often. Maybe a few examples would be, does he set a time aside every day, every morning, alone with the Lord? If he does, praise him for it. If he doesn't, pray that he would. Are you thankful that he takes time to pray with you every day about everything that's important? Are you thankful that he doesn't make snap decisions? There are many men today make snap decisions. They're going this way, and then that way, and you never know what's going to come out next. If he makes no snap decisions and weighs things carefully, praise him for it. Is he not swayed by peer pressure, but firm in God's principles? We live in a time today when people have nothing to stand on today. They don't stand on the Word of God. They don't take it serious. If you have a husband who takes a firm stand and stands by it, is not affected by peer pressure, praise him for it. Does he sacrifice time on a regular basis to take you out for a meal? Thank him. You as a wife is having a great influence on your husband. Is it for good? Is your influence pleasing to the Lord? Secondly, we'll look at the influence of a woman in the home. Who can find a virtuous woman for her price is far above rubies? Proverbs 31:15, she rises also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is a law of kindness. She looks well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Is your home the hub of your life? Does all that is important to you happen in your home? Is your heart centered there? Do you make home the happy hub of life for your beloved family? Do you accept your calling in your home as wife and mother, as a queen of your home? Are you too, do you have the attitude of just a servant instead of a queen of your home? Proverbs 14:1 says, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. Your home should be a castle to you, a castle of love, that each member of that home feels loved and appreciated. There is no greater calling or greater privilege in this world than to have a godly home. Homemaking needs to be the priority of every sister in the Lord. In Titus chapter 2, we have some very definite instructions. It says the aged women likewise that they should be in behavior as becoming holiness. They should be holy. And not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Sisters, you don't need to wonder what God wants for you to be. I believe he's speaking here to mothers and grandmothers. You should be teaching your daughters, your granddaughters, your great-granddaughters these teachings that God has laid down for you. First of all, in Titus chapter 2 and verse 4, should teach them to be sober. That's serious concern for godly living. Are you as mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers instilling that into your daughters and great-granddaughters? Supposed to teach them to love their husbands and your children. You know, a woman who has been saved by the love of Christ should then extend Christ's love to the family, first of all. It needs to have the first place in your heart. And next to your love for the Lord and your husband should be your children. How do you show this love to your children? One of the most important things is to being there. Being there. Not having someone else taking care of them. Secondly, giving them security. The mother and daddy's relationship is so needful today, or so many children never have a doubt in their mind all the time if mother or daddy are going to separate and grow another way. Give them security by your relationship of love between you and your husband. Proper discipline, instilling God's principles into their lives through training. In Psalm 118 and verse 15, it says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. But that is simply saying that the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the home or the house of the righteous. Mealtime should be a joyful time for you as a family. Mothers, you need to make it happen. Mothers, prepare your heart as you prepare your meals. Give full attention to each member of your family. Another time for that is bedtime. Take time to listen to your children. They tell us that the average child asks 500,000 questions by the age of 15. And if you take time to listen now, they will listen to you later. I think as mothers and fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers, we need to listen. And many times they want to talk when it's time to put them to bed. But take time to listen. Also, as mothers and fathers and grandparents and great-grandparents, we need to pray for our families. Who can comprehend the value of prayer, sincere prayer? Pray that the Lord, pray that they will fear the Lord and serve Him. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve Him. Pray that they will know Christ as Savior early in life. Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God, early where I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Pray that they will desire the right kind of friends and be protected from the wrong kind. But we as parents need to show them by example how to choose the right friends. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Pray that they would be kept from the wrong mate and saved for the right one. And don't wait until they're 16 to start praying that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Mothers, when you set aside your ironing to play with your child, or to walk in the woods, you're not only making his or her day happy, but you're giving them something that will make them happy 20 years down the road by a memory of those times. As I mentioned, I think this admonition given here in Titus 2 is especially for mothers and grandmothers to share with their daughters and granddaughters. In verse 5, it says they should be taught to be discreet. Discreet means teaching them to be careful about what one says or does. And then it says to be chaste. Chaste means to be pure, to be decent, modest appearance and behavior. Mothers, you are to be a good example to your children in your appearance that exalts the Lord instead of allowing the devil and the world's influence to draw your children into the world's mindset of just so it's in the heart. Loved ones, if a mindset is that it doesn't matter how revealing or how much sex appeal is displayed, there is a serious heart problem. The scripture makes that very clear. In Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and so on. In 1 Timothy 2:9, scripture says, in like manner, also that the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broad hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but that which becometh women professing with good work, godliness with good works. Modesty. Take notice of that word, modesty and shamefacedness. I believe that a godly woman should be ashamed and should feel guilty if she distracts someone from worshiping God or contributes to someone's lustful thought life. If you have the mind of Christ, you will hate this sin just as much as Jesus Christ does. Sobriety, another word that's used there, which means serious. Serious about life. Serious about your testimony for the Lord. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. But then take notice what it says. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall into his brother's or sister's way. And I just like to add this to men here. I preached a few weeks ago to the men, put it straight. We as a brother are supposed to be spiritual leaders in our home, upholding the banner of Christ. The spiritual protection upon our family should be because we are godly leaders. But are we a stumbling block? Some of us are not wearing shirts, are wearing muscle shirts, or sleeveless shirts, are wearing jeans that expose things that should not. Are we a stumbling block to our sisters? For our young people. The next area it speaks about here is keepers of home. The home should be the center of a mother's world. A serious danger when a mother works out of the home. In 1 Timothy 5:14, take notice what the Word of God says. I will therefore that the younger women, take notice what it says, marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Dangers of a wife working outside of the home, especially when there's children there. Children are neglected. Some will say, well, I have quality time with my children. But the needs of children are urgent. And the needs of children are unscheduled. You never know when that child needs a special touch from mother. The mother's not there. Mothers, God has entrusted a child for you to care for, physically, but above all, spiritually, in your home. When a woman has sought a career out of the home, she is always unfulfilled in being a mother. God has created you to be a helpmeet. You will never be fulfilled by trying to copy a man's role. Remember that. I believe also a woman who works outside of the home can damage her marriage. When the mother tries to establish her independence by working outside the home, I think she deeply wounds the spirit of marriage and the love between her and her husband. Also, there's a temptation to transfer her affection and her obedience from her own husband, especially if she works under authority of a man, another man. It limits her time and energy that are needed in a godly home setting. A mother working outside of the home and trying also to keep the home would have to neglect something. It would probably be her time with the Lord. And sisters, you need that as well as each one of us as men. Something would have to be neglected. From past experience, we know this is very tempting for the mother to make a little extra money so we can buy more things. But is it necessary? What is the most important thing Could God be home? Or a few x-ray toys? She also can destroy her godly example to others. The last part of verse 5 says that the word of God be not blasphemed. By not taking a stand and obeying this teaching, many others are following in their footsteps. Mothers, your children need models. This model may be amplified by your personal godly life, serving the Lord, fulfilled by being in your place in the home as helpmeet and a God-honoring mother who realizes that no one else can fulfill your role. There's no one who can take your place. Proverbs 31:10, I quoted quite a number of times this morning, who can find a virtuous woman? Is it inferring that virtuous women are hard to find? Who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? Proverbs 31:28, her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. The influence of a mother and her children can never be overrated. The mother's heart is a child's schoolroom. You as a mother are weaving a cord of influence that your child's life that's going to grow with him or with her until the day of death. And that's a serious thing. Thirdly, we'll look at the influence of a woman in the church. You as sisters are touching many lives. Biblical standards are being held high by your example. Either by your example or they're lowered by your example. In 1 Peter chapter 3, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Wherefore, whose adorning let it not be the outward adorning of plaiting your hair, or wearing of gold, or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man, or woman of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. This is the example given to a woman who's married to an ungodly man who's not a Christian. But I think it's the example when you tell us also, as women in the church can be an example to others in the church, believers and unbelievers. Your day-by-day life is helping to influence others in the body of Christ. You are being observed by others. How strong is your testimony for the Lord? According to 1 Timothy 5:2, we need to honor older and younger sisters who are faithful. As I'm one of the older folks here, I remember many sisters who were older as I grew up, who were an encouragement to me by notes, by prayers, by admonition that was given to me. And I thank you for it. And I'm thankful for godly sisters that we have in our church who love the Lord and faithfully serve Him. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11, it gives a qualification of the deacons, wives. But I think these qualifications will be passed down to all sisters in the church. Who knows if you're married, if the Lord may call you to be a deacon's wife or a minister's wife. It says, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Grave simply means serious about being a godly example as a wife or as a mother, as unmarried, an unmarried sister in the church. Not a slander, very careful of damaging statements that could be made. Sober, level-headed, carefully under the Lord in thought and word and action. Faithful in all things, committed to the Lord, to the family, to the work of the church, to the body, reliable, dependable, prayer warriors. Ministers teachers, fathers, mothers. Many need prayer warriors and sisters. You can be that. Your attitude about going to church service and being on time is instilled into those who watch you and observe you. Your attention, even while in service, is observed by our young people. Are we here to worship God and to draw close to Him? I think showing by example the seriousness of coming together to worship the Lord and showing respect by His presence in His house, even by proper appearance. We live in a day of careless appearance and careless order of worship. Even so, God's word is clear about women being quiet in the worship service. But the scripture makes it very plain that sisters can be prayer warriors anytime, anywhere, alone with God. For some, it's not God's will that you marry and have a family. And for those of you who are single, your example of spirituality and holiness can help strengthen the youth and give courage to the married sisters in, as they walk with the Lord. Let them know you're praying for them. Take them into your homes. Have meals with them. Fellowship with them. Encourage them. As sisters, you can probably have more time to pray for and encourage families in the church body. There are other many needs among us. So many needs. If you have a job to do as sisters in the Lord. On June the 27th, I felt directed to preach on being godly men. Today the Lord has laid in my heart the sermon, A Virtuous Woman. God's standards for being godly men and virtuous women are so, so important. If they are not taken seriously, the church, the bride of Christ, will become weaker and weaker. And loved ones, we don't want that to happen. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, Wherefore, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall not fail. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast. And I think it means sisters too. Unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Since I mentioned some qualities to consider in choosing a life's companion to the sisters and the message to the brethren, I will mention again some qualities for a brother to consider when choosing a sister as a life's companion. Especially young people, take this seriously, please. I've seen couples marry who thought they're getting a Christian companion. They were deceived. And they had to live a miserable life because of that. Make sure that she is a born-again child of God. Not just a church member, but born again. Watch for the fruit of the Spirit in her life. In Galatians 5:22 is a list on it. Be sure she is born again. Secondly, choose someone who desires for you to pray with her and encourages wholesome activities when you are together. If she doesn't do that, I suggest you break it off until something happens differently. Choose one who has learned to respect her parents and willingly comes under her earthly father's counsel. If she has problems with her father's authority, she will have problems under your authority. Choose one who holds the convictions based on God's word, takes God's word as the final authority, and lives by them. Choose one who carefully listens and evaluates your concerns instead of just brushing them off. Choose one who is careful to observe neatness and promptness in their walk. When playing games, she must always be the winner. What is her response to losing? That's a poor choice. One who is careful with modesty and purity. But she makes some pretty high standards. But they're God's standards based on His Word. In choosing a life companion, be very careful that she is a virtuous woman.